Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Shannon Young from Podzilla 1985, and I want to thank you for listening to this. This is going to kind of be a different show than normal. Nothing funny. There's not going to be a lot of comedy, and I'm actually flying solo because I don't know if I could actually get, you know, anybody that would want to talk about this subject with me. And what is the subject today? Well, we actually have a show tonight with Jesse Kimball about the Smash Brothers DLC, but something happened yesterday that kind of made me want to talk about this thing that we call white privilege. Now, as I'm sure a lot of you know, I am a white man. And something happened recently with a gentleman who was shot in the back while he was on the ground being handcuffed by a reserve police officer that's caused quite a bit of controversy. Today, that man was arraigned on manslaughter charges, which we talked about on the Sunday show. And I kind of assumed they would. But, you know, there's always that fear that they're not going to because of, well, apparently white privilege. I was actually responding to a post on somebody else's Facebook. As funny as it sounds, it was actually on Big Boy's Facebook about the incident. And I saw that one of the replies to it simply said white privilege. If you don't know what white privilege is, if you haven't heard it beaten to death in the media, it is the belief that white people have an advantage over other colors and races simply because they are white. Now, I'm not going to debate the fact that white people may have an advantage in this country because white people run this country. I mean, that's no secret. Old white people with money run a country. Now, it's not like that's news to anybody. What I take offense to is the notion that all white people have a privilege. That just because you're white, you are born into privilege. Because I think that I am living proof that that is not true. Let me give you a little backstory on me and who I am and where I come from. I come from a small town in southern Illinois called Mount City. Before that, I lived in Olive Branch, neither of which are very rich communities. Now, growing up, I was raised in a community that was mostly black. I went to Meridian, which if you people are from the area, you probably know about Meridian. I'm sure you've heard stories. Not the greatest school. I have a lot of good memories. I had a lot of terrible memories. But it was a predominantly black school from what I remember. Or if it wasn't, I guess maybe that's just how I saw it, because most of my friends were black. I'd say a majority of my friends were black. Most of my enemies were black. Most of the people that I knew were black. I lived in a trailer. I grew up very poor. You know, I joked on the Sunday show that I used to snack on barbecue sandwiches, which are bread with barbecue sauce in the middle. And that's not a joke. More often than not, for dinner, I would just throw together whatever I could, because that's all we could afford. We weren't on welfare. We did not have any government-assisted programs. And when I got older, when I got into high school, there was a period where my family did have a link card, I believe. And I remember one day telling my mother I was hungry, and she said, well, why don't you go up to the store, get yourself something to eat, take the link card. I refused. I don't know if I had too much pride or if I was embarrassed, but I didn't want to use it. I would have rather starved than take this free money and go buy food with it. Now, I'm not going to debate the importance of these programs. I think they are important. There are a lot of families out there that need them. Not everybody, but there are a lot of families that need them. But when I was growing up, especially in a black community with not that many white friends, I didn't see color. I know everybody says that, but I really didn't. I didn't see black and white. It was not a race thing when I was younger. It was more of, you know, us versus them. Us being poor people, all my friends who were poor, just like me, versus everybody else in the world, because we hated the world, because we weren't afforded the privileges that they had. Back then, it wasn't known as white privilege. It was just privilege. And I think that still exists today. It's not about black versus white. It's about rich versus poor. And we'll get into that later. I'm not going to say there wasn't racial tension back then, because of course there was. Anytime you have, you know, people from different cultures together, there's going to be some kind of a conflict. And there was, you know, white versus black in my school. But it wasn't poor black people versus rich white people. It was poor black people versus poor white people. Now, that may not sound important, but it was. Because it was even, you know, no one had an advantage over anybody else where I was from. There were a couple rich kids, but they were of all colors. There was black, white, I had an Arab friend who was rich, and we were all friends. We got along. We didn't look down on each other, you know, and that was important as children. Now, is that the, you know, innocence of youth? Maybe. That innocence sure feels like it has disappeared these days. Yeah, I remember one particular time. It was in high school after I had left because my mother had pulled me out for all the violent fights that I had got in and the violence that was promised against me by people of all races. I guess I wasn't very likable when I was younger, but I did return to high school probably my senior year, not enrolled, but I did go to some of the events at the school. And there was one event in particular where when I walked in, I can't remember if it was a dance or something similar to that, but on the left side of the bleachers, there were all the white people. And on the right side, there were all the black people. And it was separated. Even people I knew that knew each other were sitting on their side. And I felt bad about that. I guess whenever I left school and I went and did my own thing, kind of found myself, I realized how little of importance that race plays in humanity. So whether I was being brave or stupid, whatever you want to call it, I immediately went over and sat with the black people, with my friends, and with some people I didn't know. And yeah, I kind of got called out on it. They were asking me, what are you doing over here? And I just played it off. I said, what are you doing over here? Why are they over there? Why is this school segregated suddenly? I don't remember it being this way when I was here. So myself and a few friends from the black side went over and sat with the white people. And it was a little awkward at first, as you can imagine, but, you know, eventually we started to mingle more, and the black and the white came together. It was a good moment, something I'm particularly proud of. You know, fast forward a couple years, we get to college. Now, in college, I was a workhorse, kind of like I am now. I was criticized for having too many podcasts up. It's not so much because, you know, I want to waste your time. I just have so much to say. And I want to get it out there. I can't rest. I don't rest. I'll never stop until I'm satisfied. And I'm never going to be satisfied, so I'll never stop. Now, if you like that or don't, I guess that's up to you. But anyway, when I got to college, I had a friend who I won't name because I don't want to embarrass him. He was black, and he got a free ride through college. His family paid for just about everything he had. He had a grant that paid for his college. And he had a job. So he was making money while he was given money while his school was paid for. So this guy was just bragging, showing us all the stuff he bought. And he had his own apartment. He had a box of porn in, you know, his, yeah, I don't want to talk about that. That's, he also had a giant dildo in his, what do you call it? Drawers in his room, you know, his, where he kept his clothes. Dresser. God, why couldn't I think of that word? I'm about to go into work, so I'm a little scatterbrained. Anyway, this guy, he had everything given to him. Now, me, I like to think I was a different story. I had a scholarship through college. I did sports journalism. It was boring, and sometimes I hated it, but I felt like I earned everything that I had in college. Not only did I have the scholarship, I was also a teacher's aide. I was editor of the school paper. I took more hours than legally allowed, and I had to have special permission from the school board to take as many hours as I did. I was very proud of what I did. I took every opportunity that I was given, and I made it work. Even if it was a terrible opportunity, if it was something I didn't want to do, I still did it, and I did it better than anybody else could. Why did I do it? I have a lot of self-pride. I still have a lot of self-pride. It doesn't change who I am. You know, being poor didn't take away from the fact that I wanted to be more than what I was. And I still strive for that every day today. You know, when you hear me on these podcasts, it's not because I want to be rich and famous. It's not because I'm trying to impress anybody. It's because I want to do it for me. I have it deep inside my soul and I want to talk about it. Got my notes here, as always. So if you hear me pause, it's because I'm looking through it because I don't have the best memory. So I have to write down what I'm talking about. Nowadays, I think we would live in what you would call a digital age. Digital age is in everything we do in one way or the other is documented and recorded. Now, whether you're recording it yourself or you are being recorded by the government, which, you know, is a fact. Just ask Edward Snowden. Everything you do is put on display. Now, when everything you do is put on display, suddenly all of these things that have been happening and that have been happening for a long, long time are suddenly put into the light, you know, out of the darkness and into the light, as they say. And when you talk about that, what are you talking about? You're talking about police beatings. You're talking about police killings. You're talking about riots. You're talking about race riots. All of the negativity and bad things that can happen to a community are now on display. You're on Live Leak. You're on the evening news. You're on YouTube. You can't make a mistake anymore without people capturing it. And you suffer the consequences for it. Now, that's not necessarily a bad thing, because a lot of the terrible things that have happened recently, we would have never known about if some brave soul hadn't recorded it and put it out. It shows you my upbringing there. And they don't put it out. Whenever you do that and you put it on display, you're going to get a lot of controversy. And that is exactly what they want. I have said this 1,000 times, that the media will take everything and spin it the way that they want to. They'll show you what they want you to see, to enrage you, to cause you to watch more, better ratings, better sales. It's ridiculous. Let me find my notes here. When you're talking about the most recent controversies, again, back to white privilege, that apparently ties together to this shooting of this unarmed black man who was on the ground, was already in custody, was accidentally shot by a reserve cop. People say that that's an epidemic. They say that black people being murdered by cops is a problem. I'm sure you've heard Black Lives Matter. You've heard about what happened to Michael Brown in Ferguson. You heard about, I was going to say Trayvon Martin wasn't necessarily shot by a cop, but kind of the same thing. If you remember, and boy, we talked about this a lot on Blogzilla 1985, and we kind of ran it into the dirt. You couldn't watch a newscast about that incident without them referring to the shooter as a white Hispanic. You know, they have to throw race into it, because if you don't have a hook, people won't watch. And if people don't watch, you're not making money. I believe at one point in history, journalism used to be about, you know, journalism and not about profits. But that day is definitely gone now. And depending on which channel you watch and how they want to spin it, I've seen some polls that say cop killings of blacks are down. I've heard numbers of 75% since, I want to say, the late 70s or I forget the year exactly. But cop shootings of blacks are down. I've seen other polls that say that cop shootings of black people are up horribly. And that's what we see on television. That's what the media wants to show us, is more and more black people getting shot. You know, I remember back probably 10 to 15 years ago, the big complaint was that you couldn't get a black person, injustice against a black person on television. I remember there were, every time a white kid would come missing, it would be all over the news. That's all you would see. Beautiful, you know, 15-year-old white girl was kidnapped. Cute little white girl was kidnapped. But you would never see when black children were kidnapped. I remember a couple of cases where we really had to push to get the news media, the news outlets, to show this, to try to get justice for these kids who weren't white. And now it's the exact opposite. You can't watch a newscast without seeing something terrible happening to black people. And why do you think that is? You know, think about it. Why suddenly do, you know, CBS, CNN, whoever, why do they suddenly care about the plight of the black person in America? It's because they can spin it. They can make money off of it. They can provoke you against me, and you will watch every time, and you will protest, and you will follow Al Sharpton. And that's what they want you to do. Do you think, honestly, do you seriously think that cops don't kill white people? I've seen studies as recent as last year that says cops kill more white people yearly than they do black people. But that's not what you see, because that's not what they want you to see. It is easier to provoke one race against another than it is to provoke an entire nation against an unjust and problematic police force. And we're falling directly in the line what they do that. Whenever you use the term white privilege, whenever you use the slogan Black Lives Matter, you are buying into the propaganda that they want you to buy into. And I hate that. I hate the term white privilege. And we'll get to that in a second. I'll talk more about that. You know, when I was growing up, it was more about black people killing black people. And we used to have, you know, all of these, oh man, you'd have marches, you'd have protests saying, let's stop killing each other. You don't hear about that anymore, do you? That's not the top story. The top story is when somebody white hurts somebody black. Again, because that's what they want you to see. Who do you think kills more black people in America every year? Black people or cops? Go look it up. If you don't believe me, if you don't already know the answer to that, go look it up. You won't be surprised because it's black people. And it's not just black people against black people. It's white people against black people. It's black people against white people. It's white people against white people. We hurt each other, and that needs to stop. It doesn't matter what color you are or, you know, where you're from, how much money you've got. Us killing each other, that is the problem. And it's not white privilege. It's not white privilege. It's the only reason I'm still alive is not because I'm white. It's because I follow the rules. It's because I don't put myself in a position to be hurt by the police or by someone else. I'm very cautious about myself. And believe me, I work in a pretty rough neighborhood. When I leave, my day-to-day job, when I go out that back door at night, I'm constantly scanning the area and make sure somebody's not going to come up and try to jack me and take what I've earned. Sorry, it just upsets me. It upsets me. And when you're talking about white privilege, you make it sound like all white people have an advantage. And it's absolutely not true. Not all white people have an advantage, just like all black people are not at a disadvantage either. I'd like to bring up the case of O.J. Simpson. Was anyone yelling black privilege when O.J. Simpson, you know, got away with murder? Because if you're going to deny all of the evidence against him, you're a fool. And, you know, when I was a kid, I remember seeing the O.J. trial live in school because they showed it. I don't know if it was because we were a mostly black community. There seemed to be a lot of black pride behind O.J. Simpson, which at the time I bought into because I was young and I was stupid. When they said that O.J. was acquitted of murder, I cheered. I didn't cheer quite as loudly as other people. There were black kids running up and down the hallway saying, "We won, we won." And I remember a Chris Rock special that I saw back then that said, "What the fuck did you win? Where is your O.J. Simpson prize in the mail? You didn't win anything. A murderer got away with murder. A murderer got away with murder," is what I meant to say. And why did he get away with it? It was because he's black? No, it's because he's rich. He got away with it because he has money. The same reason all politicians have an advantage and all rich people have an advantage is because they have money. It's not because of their color. You don't see rich white people in jail very often because they're rich, not because they're white. I'm sure if there was a rich black man in the same position as a lot of these rich white people, he would be afforded the same opportunities, not because of the color of his skin, but because of the content of his wallet, as opposed to the content of the character, which is what Dr. Martin Luther King used to preach so much back when we still believed that equality was real and that could be real. Obviously, it doesn't now. You know, you also want to talk about R. Kelly, a man who was on videotape, you know, with underage girls who, you know, basically commit a statutory rape that they have evidence for. Did he see a day in jail? You know, is he in there right now? Now, was he afforded the same opportunities as a poor white guy who has slept with a 14-year-old girl? I'm sure he was, because of white privilege. Now, do black people commit more crimes in the United States than white people? I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I'm not 100% sure. But I know that not every white person that commits a crime is given a free pass. That's stupid. It depends on where you are, what you've done, your jury. There are so many factors that go into it. And if you're saying that the only reason white people are out on the street is because they're privileged and black people are in jail is because there's some conspiracy against them. Hey, I love conspiracies and there may be some truth to it, but if you honestly believe that the color of a white person's skin gives him a get out of jail free card, you're an idiot. And I have some friends who do believe that, and I'm sorry, but you're idiots. No offense. I hope you still listen to the show. And you know what? Let me tell you what white privilege isn't, since we're talking about white privilege, because it pisses me off. The whole point of this, I know I've rambled on for 20 minutes about next to nothing, but what pisses me off is the term white privilege. And here's why. White privilege is not working harder than everyone else to get ahead of life, like I have. You know, I put my time in. I work a 40-hour-a-week job. I do this show. It takes up a lot of time. When I was in college, I took many hours, more hours than I was actually able to. And like I said, I had to get special permission. I earned my spot everywhere I went. All right. There was no privilege. They didn't hand me the opportunity and say, here you go. We think you would be good for this. I went up to them and I begged and I pleaded and I fought to get that opportunity. How many people out there who don't have an opportunity or say they don't have an opportunity is because they don't have the opportunity, or is it because they don't look for it? If you're sitting at home and you're not doing anything and you're collecting money from the government, it's not the white person's fault that you don't have that opportunity. You are choosing to not find an opportunity. And sure, the opportunity might suck. You might start at the bottom, but you know, this country started at the bottom. We all start at the bottom. You work your way up. You're not given the opportunity. You take it. That is what's wrong with the country nowadays, is that nobody wants to take the opportunity. They want to have the opportunity given to them. Well, that's bullshit. And that's not how it should be. White privilege is not scraping by month to month. When you and your wife, or your fiance, in my case, you both have 40-hour week jobs that pay pretty decently, and you have to scrape by, and you barely have enough money to cover your bills, and you might be able to buy yourself something nice every once in a while, but then you look at other people who abuse government programs and get a free ride. They get free money. And I'm not just saying black. I'm saying black and white. They get free money. They're given free food. They're given opportunities that I would never get. But I'm white, so I should be privileged to them, right? The reason that I have a 40-hour week job is because I'm white, clearly. I didn't earn that job. I didn't work harder than everybody else. If I was black, I wouldn't have that job. Bullshit. White privilege is not watching other people afforded special exempt status just for the color of the skin. You know, people that get college scholarships because they're black. People that get college scholarships because, you know, they're gay. It doesn't matter. It's hard to say this without coming across as racist or in some way bigoted against something else, which I'm not. Anybody that knows me knows that I am a firm believer in rights for gay people. I grew up in a black community and I've always felt an affinity for black culture. But it's ridiculous when people are given opportunities just because they're different. And then you deny me opportunities just because I have white privilege. I'm expected to have that privilege. It doesn't work that way. White privilege pisses me off. And you know, I'm throwing my notes down because I just want to go off on a tangent here. Anytime you tell me that the only reason I have the things that I have is because I'm white, you're basically slapping me in the face and telling me that I didn't earn it, that I'm not good enough for this. I'm just afforded this because of the color of my skin. Well, I grew up in a trailer, and I grew up poor, and I had to fight, claw, and scratch for every single thing I've gotten. I have been called everything from white trash to a racist to a nigger lover. All right? It doesn't affect me. You can call me what you want. It will not change the fact that I work harder than everybody else. I put more time in than everybody else. I make it my personal business to be the best at everything I do. And the color of my skin has nothing to do with that. If I were black, I would be in the exact same place I am right now. So who am I fighting against here? Who am I pissed off at? Am I pissed off at black people or white people for throwing the white privilege up and saying this is the reason I was afforded these things? No. It's not your fault. Everybody needs something to blame. Who do I blame? I blame the media, as I always do. I blame anybody that exploits other people for their own gain. And I've argued this 100 times, and I've said through writing, through blogging, through video, through audio, I'll fucking send smoke signals up into the sky to tell you to stop buying into the hype. White privilege does not exist. Rich privilege exists. If I were rich, I'd probably be better off. I know I'd be better off. Maybe not spiritually, but I would definitely have more than I have now, and I wouldn't have to worry if I'm going to be able to pay the bill next month despite working a 40-hour week job and working harder than everybody else. So stop throwing the white privilege into my face and telling me that everything that happens I can't understand because I was born white. No, I understand what it's like to be poor. I understand what it's like to fight for everything that you have. Stop being, I don't know, what would you call it, reverse racist? Just, you know, stupid is what it is. Stop believing the media hype that just because you have a certain skin pigmentation that you were afforded more rights than everybody else. There is definitely a culture of people that get more than another culture of people, but it's not because of your skin color. It's because of what your parents had and your grandparents had and how much money you have and how big your name is in the community. Well, my name meant nothing. I was called my first girlfriend that I ever truly cared about. Her parents called me white trash to my mom's face. They didn't know me. I had no idea who I was. I've had a grudge and a chip on my shoulder ever since then to work as hard as possible to get everywhere I have in life. And that's where I am right now. I'm still working hard. I have not been afforded anything because of the color of my skin. I have fought for it. And if you don't believe that, if you think the only reason I'm here talking to you right now and that I have a good job that I enjoy and a place to call my own and a woman that I love is because I'm white, fuck you. And fuck everyone else that believes that. I got this because I work hard. And if you want the same privilege, work for it. And as for the people that do have privilege, all of the people that have money, that can get away with shit that I will never be able to get away with. Fuck you too. If you look down on me and you sit back and you watch all of this happen and you have a chance to make a difference and you don't do it and you just sit behind your money and your privilege, you don't deserve it. The people that deserve it are out there every day working hard and struggling, and they deserve better than they get. I don't care if you are white or black, Hispanic, Asian, it doesn't matter. If you work hard and you follow the rules, you deserve better. And don't buy into the hype that just because you're a certain color doesn't mean you're never going to get that chance. Well, I think I've ranted about long enough. And I want to thank you, my friends, for listening to this. It's probably not easy to listen to 30 minutes of me talking. I don't know if I have a pleasant voice or if I do sound like Kermit the Frog like I've been afraid of recently. And a lot of this was probably kind of incoherent and a rambling mess, but I had to get it out. Of course, if you ever want to get in touch with me, you can find me on Facebook. You can message us on Facebook on Blogzilla 1985. If you have any thoughts about this, any concerns, if you think I'm an idiot, if you think I don't know what I'm talking about, let me know. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it like adults and not, you know, throw mud at each other like they want us to. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. And we'll see you tonight on the next show.